grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last night, we spoke about the facts of the birth of Christ. It happened in a particular time and place in fulfillment of prophecy. It happened in real history. And it happened in a magnificent lowliness and humility in contrast to the human might of this world. We begin talking about Caesar Augustus and his power to get everybody jumping, and we end that first section of our gospel with a helpless little baby lying in a lowly manger. And this is a picture for us of the great love of God for sinners, that His Son would deign to come into the world in great lowliness in order to raise us up and bring us to glory in heaven with Him. Then we went and we began to talk about the shepherds on the hillside. And the point that we made last night about the shepherds on the hillside was that God doesn't come to those that you expect Him to come to. You know, you've all had friends in your life, I'm sure, that you have said, boy, if that person would only just wake up, they would make a great Christian. Ever met somebody like that? That person would really be a good Christian, or that person would be a great Lutheran if they could just come to the Lord. And they never do. And they never do. And no matter what you say to them, they always remain indifferent and bored at the very idea. And then you have this other person that is on the periphery of your life. Someone you've never even thought about that much. And lo and behold, they come to the Lord. And not only do they come to the Lord, but they prosper in the Christian faith and become a great blessing to other people. You know, the way that we would do things and the people that we think would make great Christians, God has other plans in mind. God is always surprising us. He is always paying attention to people that we think He shouldn't waste His time with. And He's always seemingly, notice I said seemingly, ignoring those that we think He should pay attention to. Well, here it is. Who could the angel of the Lord have come to that night instead of these shepherds? But to the shepherds He came. And by this He is telling us that no matter who we are, and no matter how humble and of no account we may be, God loves us, and in the Word and Sacrament He comes to us really and truly with His grace. But there's another thing here that I wanted to focus on this morning. The shepherds weren't doing anything other than their basic duty. They were out in the fields watching over their flocks by night. They weren't having a Bible study. They weren't having a prayer meeting. They weren't memorizing their catechisms. They were just doing their jobs. And it is to them that the angel of the Lord comes. And once He overcomes their fear, He tells them something, not something to do, but something to believe. And this is what kind of messes up a lot of people in the modern world. They think that what religion is all about is go to church and get told a list of things that you have to make improvements about, and get told a list of things that you've got to do if you want to get to heaven. That's the way the world thinks of church. And that's why, one of the reasons why they avoid church like the plague, because they don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told what they must do if they ever want to see the pearly gates. And so that's the way the world thinks. But here, the angel comes and he tells them not to do anything, but to believe something. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I've looked, and you can look too, is there any hint of a commandment in there? No. He comes and he simply tells them news that he invites them to believe. And even in the next phrase, he's not telling them what to do so much as he is giving them an opportunity to respond. You see, because all works are a response to God's grace. And so he says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Notice, he doesn't say, "Now you guys, get up and get into Bethlehem and scour that city for a baby lying in a manger." He doesn't say that at all. He simply says, "Now, I'm going to give you a sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And he just leaves it at that. And the minute that he says that, the minute that he reminds us back to that manger in Bethlehem, the heavens open up all around him, and the armies of God begin to worship the Lord and praise him. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, because to magnify Christ and his incarnation is to glorify God the Father." God the Father is not glorified by anyone who will not glorify the Son. And so, glory to God in the highest, and then on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It's one of those passages that modern translations of the Bible always mess up. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of goodwill," or some such nonsense like that. It's not addressing peace to men of goodwill. It's telling us the objective fact of God's peace and God's goodwill being given and delivered to men on earth through the birth of Jesus. That's what it really means. That's solid theology. Not peace on earth to men of goodwill. That's works righteousness finding its way into our modern translations of the Bible. All right? But what it's telling us is, again, something to rejoice in, something to believe in. That in the birth of Christ, the peace of God and the goodwill of God is offered and given to human beings who are sinners. So the heavens light up with the armies of God singing this beautiful, beautiful hymn, and then everything just disappears and it's just the shepherds again. All right? Now, they've been told what they can believe, but they haven't been told to do anything. But notice what faith accomplishes. Faith alone saves. But the faith which alone saves bears fruit in our lives. And so these men who have believed the gospel of the angel of the Lord about the coming of Christ the Savior, they say, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Do you see that this sentence is filled with Christian faith from the bottom to the top? All right? Let us go. All right? This is the works that faith produces. Let us go to Bethlehem, see this thing which is come to pass. There's no doubt. Let's see whether this thing really happened or not, or whether we just had a hallucination. No. Let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So God acts, and then God tells you about what he did. And that's the whole Bible, by the way. The whole Bible is really about God doing things and then telling you he did them, why he did them, and how he did them. From Genesis to Revelation, to invite you to believe. Faith is the beginning and the continuance and the end of everything. So let's get to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, not the haste of being in emergency mode, but the haste of joy. They really were looking forward to seeing what the angel had just told them about. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the things which were told them concerning this child. See, the angel didn't tell them, "Now you make sure you go out and tell everyone what he has done." Like these modern evangelism sermons that you hear, where people are so whooped up into a frenzy about making people go out and witness that they turn witnessing into a drudgery. Here, however, they were not told, "Get out and tell everybody what he has done." They can't help but tell people what he has done, because they believe what they have been told. And having come to faith in it, they must share it. So they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, has been born in Bethlehem. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, when the Bible says that somebody wondered at something, it's really a kind of a non-committal response. Some people who are wondering, they eventually come to faith. Some people who are wondering never do come to faith. So what we're seeing here is the message of the shepherds to the people. The people are struck by, to the point of wonder, but we don't hear anything positive or negative about the people in general. But we do hear something positive about Mary and about the shepherds. All right? The people wondered at the things which were told them. Mary, who in the Bible is always put forth as the example of a godly Christian. All right? She's a godly Christian woman. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's what we do. That's why we're here. Because we want to take that gospel and keep it and ponder it so that we may understand it and believe it more deeply, and that we may do those things that glorify God and benefit our neighbor. And then the shepherds, the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told to them. You know, the shepherds did not say, well, you know, now that we've seen this, we've got to open up a Christian bookstore. You know, that's we can't go back to that shepherding business. We got to open up a Christian bookstore. Or we've got to start a monastery. We've really got to dedicate the rest of our lives to praising God. We're going to take this barn with this manger in it, and we're going to turn it into the spiritual center of our monastic movement. And we are going to pray and contemplate for the rest of our lives. Mm-mm. All right. What did the shepherds do after everything was over? They went back to work. They went back to their ordinary lives, which now they begin to see in a way that maybe they never saw it before, is a vocation and a calling from the Lord. You know, it's wonderful how when a Christian never really understood that their position as mother, father, brother, worker, all these things, that they are vocations, they are callings from the Lord. And then something happens, then begin to see that, yes, right smack in the middle of my life, there are numerous callings that I have, and I serve God when I do the right work of my calling. And so they went back to work, but they went back to work glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen just as it was told to them. It's just like when we come to the end of the communion service and we sing the Nunc Dimittis. Now I can depart in peace because my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And then we sing our amens and we go forth back into our daily lives, but we go into our daily lives rejoicing in the work and grace and mercy of God until we have another opportunity to come together again around the Word and Sacrament. Amen.